This episode of We Are Libertarians is brought to you by Audible.com. Enjoy one free audiobook courtesy of We Are Libertarians. Choose from more than 100,000 audiobook titles, including works by Ron Paul, Walter Block, Murray Rothbard, and the Cato Institute. Audible.com also has audio of radio and TV programs and audio versions of magazines and newspapers. You can get the Audible app on any mobile device or download the audio to your computer. Go to audibletrial.com/WAL or head to WeAreLibertarians.com and find the link to get one free month of Audible today. Welcome to We Are Libertarians. This is episode 46, getting dangerously close to episode 50. With us is the full We Are Libertarians panel. I am host Chris Spangle. That is host Greg Lenz.
Hello, everyone.
Joining us via the internet is host Creighton Harrington from Washington, D.C. And he's muted a little bit. And then Joe Ruiz. Joe, how are you doing? Joe is our managing editor on the blog.
I muted myself.
Okay.
That sucks.
Oh, that's funny.
Joe, how are you doing?
I said I'm doing wonderful, and I'm warm because I'm wearing a shirt.
I know. This is our first topless We Are Libertarians. Creighton Harrington, live from Washington, D.C., is wearing no shirt.
You have to have a password, and it's $9.95 a month, and then you get a look at Creighton's bare chest.
We were able to reach Creighton over the internet by calling 1-900-WE-ARE-LIBERTY. So, and Creighton.
When they heard that Creighton was coming to D.C., they confiscated everything, like including his clothes.
So, Creighton is
the
also
only thing he saved was his sunglasses.
Creighton's in aviator sunglasses. He has no shirt on, and he's day drinking.
Yep.
So he's really become quite the Van Wilder of Young Americans for Liberty.
Now we just got to find him a little libertarian Taj to follow him around with a notepad.
Creighton, tell us a little bit about your time there in Washington, D.C. Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't I?
You're shirtless, you're day drinking, and you're on a podcast. What's not to like?
It's Saturday, it's 90 degrees, I don't have to do crap other than just lay around.
Right.
What else? What would you be doing?
I like that he calls this crap. I don't have crap to do.
No, it's been fun. The first day I got out here, I got out here on Sunday. The next day, Monday, we went to a fundraiser, and I felt like I had gone mainstream, like establishment, because Mitch McConnell, Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, and John Cornyn were there, and they were speaking. And it was like one of those like shoulder to shoulder, maybe 30 people in a room kind of things. Everyone's right. In a suit, and it was it was pretty cool though. Ted Cruz was, and Mike Lee were worth it. But
it looked exactly like I never wanted to be in politics ever. It just looked it looked horrifying to me. But
it was very hot. That was a bad call on that.
John
part.
Cornyn gets a lot of people hot.
John Cornyn makes people
that
just
dude. That dude
melt.
Is like Frankenstein, man.
He's been around forever.
Well, I'm sure he's afraid of fire too. Then I mean,
roar, Constitution.
Now, Creighton, are you living like in a house with other interns, or what's your living situation?
Yeah. So I have my own room.
Clearly, if you're sitting around topless.
Dude, this is America. Men can take their shirts off, and women can too, for all I care.
Damn right, America.
But yes, where it's me and then one other Yale intern. Another one should be showing up, but in like a week. And then right now there's two other people that are just paying rent to live here. And one's Nate Murphy. He's leaving today though. And then another guy's a Ohio guy from Yale, and he's working with the Koch Institute.
So what do you guys... So this is a house, and then you intern for different organizations?
Yeah, it's the Yale House. Jeff Frazee, the Yale Foundation, owns it.
Or
pays the rent, I guess. The landlord owns it. We pay... Jeff Frazee essentially pays the rent.
Oh.
That's why other people...
That's
other,
why he not, keeps sending us emails asking us for money.
non-Yale people can stay here as long as they pay rent to Jeff. Yale interns, part of the package is that you don't have to pay rent.
That's a cool setup, man. That sounds awesome. Yeah.
So, but I mean, the Liberty Movement, quote unquote, is a small world. So, you know, all the interns I've met before, all the other non-Yale interns staying here I've met before, we go over to my boss's house and hang out with people that I've met before. So, it's pretty cool. My boss lives right around the corner, and I've drank there like every day.
The Liberty Movement is in good hands.
Yeah. Your future depends on Creighton, who is day drinking at noon.
It's Saturday.
Yeah.
I hope other people watch this video and they can see him, because the words that are coming out of his mouth don't quite match up to the image.
Oh, no. He looks
I feel like he should be like, you know, I mean, DC is cool. I mean, it's like free love over here. In this.
All I see right now is like Top Gun. All right.
If you go to our website, weirdlibertarians.com, and you click on the YouTube button, it'll take you to our YouTube channel, and we broadcast this on YouTube. That's how we connect with each other through Google Hangout. So you can see the floating head of the three of us. We never put Greg on camera.
I'm Charlie from Charlie's Angels.
Yeah, so I don't think you've ever been on camera.
Nope, I'm deformed, so I try to keep off camera.
Very, very ugly.
Very Eeyore-esque.
That is actually, yeah, I see it.
Very close. Yeah. Very close. Nose hair's a little less, but other than that.
I look like John Candy. Creighton thinks he looks like Tom Cruise. And Joe, I don't know who you look like.
Dave Attell.
Yeah. Dave Attell.
Who? Who is Dave Attell? Google image search.
You're not going to like that one, Joe.
Dave Attell. How do you spell that last name?
Dave Attell is a comedian, ATTELL, and I have a friend who is a hardcore Christian, and I took him to see Dave Attell with me one night when we got free tickets. He was not happy with me because Dave Attell is one of the greatest club comedians of this generation, and he is filthy. So
that's fantastic.
He has a couple.
You don't really look too much like him.
No.
So, well, even if that's the case, looking at him, I'm thinking it could be worse.
Oh boy. So what do you do on a daily basis, Creighton, as an intern?
So it's actually like, I mean, during the week it's an 8-hour job, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Our lunch, which there's so many different restaurants around the office.
I like that you don't work 9 to 5. They let you work 10 to 7.
Well, the reason they do that is because basically everything we do, for the most part, I mean, a lot of it can be done without calling, but most of what we do is call people. And you know, the rule is supposed to be don't call before 10, but we kind of turn it into don't really call before 11 or 11:30. So we, you know, being there at like 9 a.m., 7 a.m., 8 a.m. or whatever, I mean, we just spend a lot of time doing nothing because we get all the emails sent and we're just like, all right, well, we can't call yet, so let's just sit around and do nothing. But it's 10 to 7, and my job, my specific internship is essentially the regional director stuff, but for the whole country. We're focusing a lot on getting people out to the national convention.
Explain what that means, the regional director stuff. We understand.
My job as an RD was to basically start chapters, save chapters, be the contact for chapters if they need help, check up on them, basically, you know, just make sure they're doing stuff. And that's essentially what I'm doing now, but it's for the entire country instead of my region.
So it's a lot of recruiting then?
Not really right now. It might be later, but right now we're not recruiting for just to recruit. We're recruiting people to the convention. We're trying to get people out to the convention, and that's been a lot of time spent on that.
Well, then why don't you tell us when and where the convention is and how people can sign up?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Because, let's see, it's July 31st to August 3rd here in D.C. You have to be a YAL member, so join YAL. If you're out of school without a YAL chapter, start a chapter and then apply, and you'll get in.
And that's Young Americans for Liberty, just in case you don't know the acronym.
Yes, it's Young Americans for Liberty.
So what is the atmosphere like at Students for Liberty and just in general the young professionals that work in the professional libertarian movement?
Students for Liberty?
I don't know why. I did that last week. Two weeks in a row now. I'm sorry. I'm working on a project with a bunch of SFL stuff, so well, it's in my brain.
It's funny, and the only reason I say that is because asking about the atmosphere of SFL in comparison to Yale is a legitimate question.
Well, they are break it down, different. Bruh.
They are very, very different. Well, I mean, the atmosphere in the office is just like an office. Everybody's on the computer, everybody's making phone calls, and then your boss comes and says, get to work. Get off Facebook. Get off Reddit.
So you're not, you know, worshiping to shrines of Ron Paul and, you know, running around.
You know what? This is bullcrap. The staff gets to go down and hang out with Ron at a barbecue, but only full-time staff. Interns have to stay here.
Boo.
Well, that's because you show up on podcasts with your shirt off drunk.
Yeah.
No,
they can't trust you.
It's because it's in Texas.
Oh, yeah. They don't want to pay for you to go to Texas.
But, I mean, it's a normal kind of call people, change the world one.
It's growing liberty with all the boring tactics, right?
How
big is the staff? Yeah. There's me,
that's
another
what she
intern,
said.
And then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 people other than the interns. 2 of which are the bosses, and the other, or 2 or 3 of which are the bosses, and the other 3 or 4 are the basically associate level, and then I'm a shintern.
You're a shintern. Are there
shintern?
Now, are you guys, as far as like, I know you guys are more libertarian, but is this something where you guys coordinate with like FreedomWorks, or are you guys pretty much just your own entity?
Well, I mean,
you stay to yourselves.
They're probably coordinating with them to give them out to the convention.
Gotcha.
Like, I'm sure they're one of the sponsors. FreedomWorks is. I mean, Yale is libertarian. Don't get me wrong, but it's like, it's libertarian in the sense of like, don't be
a Democrat.
Don't be exclusionary.
Okay.
Like, don't, that's kind of why I like them, is they're not like, everybody who's not libertarian needs to get out of here and we'll go to our own party.
So no purity pledge.
Yeah. So a lot of LI, the Leadership Institute, is in the same building as us. They're a self-named conservative organization, and they are a conservative organization just by... I've been to many of their things, so but we work with them a lot, and you know it's a nice relationship. So they, I'd say Yale is, I don't know, it's definitely libertarian. I mean, the people in the office are like libertarians, but we're not like, don't do anything except read Rothbard kind
okay.
of people.
It's more about action and political action, and you know.
Yeah, it is. I mean, one of the thing that makes Yale different than like SFL or something, is that the model of Yale is to take political action and affect change politically to advance the ideas that we all believe in. SFL takes more of a thinky kind of approach, where it's like educate and kind of like an organic
thought leadership.
Change. Yeah,
gotcha.
So. We kind of have to, you know, be, you know, open arms to various other organizations because it's kind of in our model. I mean, we're political, like we believe in political change.
You guys are in the trenches where other organizations more do the research, that kind of thing.
Yeah, they're in the ivory towers complaining yep. that we're impure.
So yes. tell us about the muckety mucks that you've got to meet. Who are some of the big muckety mucks that you've got to rub shoulders with and
the muckety mucks?
The muckety mucks, whether
the horse
they be
thieves.
Whether they be the leaders of the libertarian movement or you know the
You're
senators.
Gonna have to explain to me what muckety muck
the
means.
Senators. Listen, he's really gone Washington. He's lost touch with the people. He doesn't understand Hoosier culture. He
nope.
does he doesn't remember what a muckety muck
no.
is.
He probably can't even play euchre anymore.
Time out. I have never heard the word muckety muck in my entire life.
It just means somebody who's highfalutin.
You know, a so and so.
It just means somebody who's important.
A polecat.
A polecat. A polecat means something totally different.
What important people have I met? Okay.
Yeah.
Have I sat down and talked with? None. Have I seen, like I said, John Cornyn, Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, Mitch McConnell?
How hard did you tongue kiss them?
I didn't at all. It was open bar. I was over by the bar.
That's how you make an impression.
That is a college student summer intern.
You like our new intern? Look at that guy that's drunk at the bar with a Rand boner.
I wasn't drunk.
Walking around with a full-on hard Rand boner talking about how great Rand Paul is.
Ted, do you feel this handshake?
Liberty, man.
Then that Thursday of that week, we went to an AFF, which is America's Future Foundation or American Freedom Future. I don't know. They had a gala, and the guy who's the head of Cato spoke.
Oh, wow.
David Bowes?
Yeah.
No, not that guy. I don't remember his name. He's, from North Carolina. I think he's, the president of Cato.
So he's less of a muckety-muck and more of a so-and-so then.
He was a good speaker, and he did a really good speech, and that was also open bar. And then, let's see, I think we went to an SFL thing yesterday, or the day before. That was all right. Jim Lark was there. I sent you that message. Talk to him a little bit.
Dr. Jim Lark is on the Advocates for Self-Government board. He's on the LNC, the Libertarian National Committee, and is a college professor in Virginia and really somebody who's been a leader in the libertarian movement for the last 30 years, I'd say, and really interesting guy. So if you ever get the chance to follow or meet Jim Lark, do it. Fun guy.
Yeah, Jim Lark, he's cool. I remember I saw him speak at the convention, national convention back in 2011, and I thought he would have such a great speech, and then they brought him back each time, and it's just so funny because last year I asked him, because he said he worked with the Libertarian Party, and I asked him if he knew you, and he's like, oh yeah, Chris Spangle.
he's from the rural area of Virginia, teaches at the University of Virginia, and just has that homespun storytelling mindset of an Andy Griffith, just really
folksy,
really fun guy to talk to, and enjoys craft beer. When he came into town for the Advocates board meeting, I ended up in the O'Malley's in downtown Indianapolis looking for local craft beer with Jim.
Is he coming back soon?
Probably, yeah.
If he does, there's a beer bus we can actually rent on Saturday, and we can go to all the local breweries.
Is it that pedal thing that I keep seeing?
Not that one. God, no. I like to drink, not
exercise.
There's
some pedal mobile bar in downtown Indianapolis there, where it's basically just drunk women going,
what I like to call a target-rich environment.
Right.
Woo girls. I do believe the scientific phrase for that herd of animals is called the Woo Girl.
The Woo Girls.
Yes.
I feel bad. I do have to, Creighton, this is the first time I've got to talk to you in a while. I had dinner last night with someone that knew you, and I didn't even mean to, but I think I might have thrown you under the bus. She was an 06 graduate of Decatur Central. I'm like, you know Creighton Harrington? And she's like, well, yeah, I went to school with him, but he was really cool. He's a big-time football star and wrestler. And then I was like, oh, yeah, we do this show together. And she's like, oh, what's he up to now? And I'm like, well, he's on a libertarian podcast, and I feel like her belief of you just got cut in half, and I didn't intend it that way. Her first name's Krista. She's married to my buddy Josh Holt. So her name's Krista Holt. Yeah, she played golf at Marion.
Krista what? What's her last name?
I don't know her maiden name. I'm sorry. But she played golf at Marion and went to Decatur Central, graduated 06. First name Krista.
Krista.
Really sweet girl, really nice. But I just felt
I'm sure I'd recognize her.
I just feel like I just chipped into the visage of Clayton Harrington.
That's how everybody is.
He was such an overachiever. He's on a podcast.
every time I go back to I see people from high school. They're like
they're really disappointed in you.
They're like, you still in school? You still playing football, man? I'm done with football. It's like, oh, okay.
Back in my day, I could throw a football over the mountains.
You were good at football, man.
Creighton, can you throw a football over them mountains?
Not today. I lifted the other day. I'm very sore.
Oh,
he lifts, bro.
Yeah. Did you lift this morning,
he
bro?
He had such a suburban.
I lifted yesterday morning. I'm actually waiting for Josh Parrish, my boss, and he's coming over, and we're going to lift later.
Go get swole.
I'll probably need a spotter.
He's going to get swolled up.
I lifted Monday, upper body. And granted, you guys got to remember, this is the first time I actually did a full-fledged workout from start to finish in 5 years. And then I did, so Monday I did that. I went pretty heavy, and I'm still sore. Like, I'm still very sore.
All right, if you're just joining us here on We Are Libertarians, we're talking about Creighton's lifting habits.
Yes, it's and riveting conversation.
He had such a suburban douchebag line last night that we teased him about. I was like, oh, you aren't going to get drunk and have a hangover for the podcast on Saturday, are you? He's like, nah, bro, I'm just lifting, and then I'm going to Chili's.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's talk to Joe Ruiz a little bit.
Nah, who needs that?
Who needs that?
Let's talk to Joe.
I never get to talk to Joe.
We've hit the 20-minute mark, so that means we have to stop screwing around and actually get to a program.
Yeah.
you know, we here on Libertarians, the guy...
We're not talking about Lindsay Lohan.
No.
No, we're going to talk about Amanda Bynes.
Yeah.
Man.
Lindsay Lohan is so 2 years ago, Creighton.
Right.
Yeah. I want to talk about Tiger Blood 2.0.
What, we're going to talk about Britney Spears?
Oh, well, I'll go.
So we'll get to the
film. Your haircut again?
No. All right. So here's the goal of We Are Libertarians. Every week we like to come together and bring together millennials from around central Indiana and give our opinion on the current events and give the libertarian perspective of current events. And then send it out to you fine people so you can hear it around the nation and the world. You know, the last few weeks, and the guys can back me up on this, we're tired of talking about scandals. That's overplayed. You can get that everywhere else.
I haven't talked about scandals.
Yeah, you talked about it two episodes ago and the episode before that. And then Greg got to weigh in last week. And we've talked about Obamacare. And we've talked about everything that's just the news is boring and repetitive.
IRS, Benghazi, I mean...
I do have to do one thing before we put scandals in the shoebox.
All right.
I've been watching the news a little bit recently, and I can't help but notice that the IRS scandal has been at the headline of all of the various news organizations, and honestly, I think they think it's a bigger scandal than the others.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I said.
Yeah.
And you said, no, you're wrong. You're stupid. It's the journalist thing. It's the worst. You're dumb.
It totally is. It's just the mainstream media, the drive-by media, is wrong.
But it probably tests well.
No!
That's what it is.
Yeah,
testing well. Because when you watch TV news, A, you're having your intelligence insulted, and B, they test to see what is going to get the best ratings.
You're only having your intelligence insulted if you're watching Fox and Friends or...
No.
Or the Five.
Oh.
No, it is literally almost every news medium.
Son,
or anything on MSNBC after Morning Joe.
All right, so let's revert back. Shoebox, we put the scandals in the shoebox until we have a new development.
Yes.
So we've been talking, and A, we're looking for your feedback. We want to hear what you want to talk about. So send us an email if you have questions or topics. We like to pick two topics, three topics a week. And then ask a central question around those topics, and they'll let the conversation devolve from there into sidebars and non sequiturs. And if there's something that we haven't covered that you'd like us to talk about, email that to us at editor@wearelibertarians.com, or you can hit us up on the Facebook page and leave a comment or a message. So what we've done this week is I said to the guys, hey, you guys pick a topic. You guys pick a question. It can't be something that really we discuss on a daily, you know, on the average show that maybe people aren't talking about in the news. And pose the question to the rest of the group, and then we'll talk about it. I don't know. I have a sneaking suspicion of what Joe is going to ask us. And Greg, I have no idea what he's going to talk about, and Creighton and I will probably not get to us. we'll do next week.
Good, because
you didn't do your homework.
All I did was get drunk last night.
I know. That's why I said Joe and Greg are going first, because they're the responsible ones in this organization. So
that's sad.
I know. When Greg Lins, when I tell people at your reunion that you're the responsible one in our organization. Oh, boy.
Well, they'll be like, well, you're screwed. That thing's going to fail.
Oh, voted least likely to secede.
I don't even get... I mean, it was no votes. I just wasn't even registered.
Most likely to end up in a pool of vomit and Broad Ripple in 3 years.
Oh, that was last night.
Class of 2007. All right. So Joe Ruiz, the managing editor of We Are Libertarians, is going to present the topic and ask the question first. And I now yield the floor to the gentleman from South Bend, Indiana.
Okay, what I wanted to talk about is government-run porn. Recently, go ahead. You have a comment?
No, I wasn't, because I know what you're going to talk about now, and I'm not making a joke.
Ah, I gotcha.
Who's so, Nayland Palin?
Nayland Palin.
Oh, different topic.
So a FBI agent in Seattle came out, and he admitted basically that they had busted a Nebraska-based child porn website in November of 2012. And that the FBI operated it for 2 weeks prior to shutting it down. So while the FBI was under control, up to, you know, 5,600 users swapped and accessed images of children, this is graphic, so heads up, being raped, abused, or forced to pose naked. And so during a recent court hearing on this, where they referred to the website as Website A, they basically admitted that the government had seized control of this website, and in order to see who else was accessing the sites and who else was posting these obscene photos, they ran the website for the next 2 weeks before actually shutting it down. And so my question is, as someone else that I saw recently asked the same question, is this proper for government to do? Should government be handling situations like this in this way?
Greg?
I actually do. I feel it is proper. The CIA does a lot of things, especially with terrorism, where they pose as, you know, suppliers for different jihadists and that type of thing, and that's how they snuff out a lot of their, you know, a lot of thwarted attacks. It happened in Yemen. That was the whole AP scandal. That's how that operated. And I don't see a big difference in it. Child porn, I mean, if you're the kind of person that exploits and you film and you're in production and you distribute, you are the worst among society, in my opinion. And so this is one of those things where I think government can have a proper role in it. I don't have an issue with them operating it. I don't like it. I know it's kind of dirty and seedy, but when
you
sign up...
Yeah, I mean, the whole idea, I mean, how can you defend the government taking pictures of real children and using that, selling that?
Well, they weren't the ones producing it.
They weren't producing it, but they had it in their possession and they were using it.
Uh-huh, they were. And, you know, it's one of those things where are they going to be able to catch more child pornography producers and distributors? That's probably a good thing, in my opinion. I'm not a pure libertarian on that issue. But I know you guys will disagree.
Child abuse advocates were pretty upset about this because they're saying that Creighton is wearing a pirate hat right now.
In the middle of a discussion on child pedophiles, and you're wearing a pirate hat in Google Hangout.
He's like the wall version of Michael Jackson right now.
What are you?
So bad.
All right.
Creighton's like, you want to ride my roller coaster?
What is wrong with you, Creighton? Oh, good God. Go ahead, Joe. Please save us.
I'm sorry, I found the effects button.
What is going on?
Sorry, Joe, go ahead. Continue.
About... You were talking about...
I'm going to go ahead and mute Creighton while we're talking about child pornography.
Okay. So child protection advocates were really furious about this because, you know, what they say, what federal prosecutors often say, is that each time an image of rape or molestation is shared, that child is being abused again.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and having worked in, you know, child services for some time, I think that I understand what they mean is that every time, you know, if you got some sicko in Wyoming getting off on this picture, then that child is essentially the victim of abuse.
For sure.
By being, you know what I mean? And so the FBI, in doing this, the question is, they allowed for the 10,000 photos that were uploaded to this website during that two-week duration, 10,000 kids to be abused while they found out what was, you know, going to happen before they shut it down.
They did, but now I'm not very familiar with the case, but did it yield any benefits? Were they able to catch a group of operators from it?
Yeah, they did. And they have a list of registered users because
okay.
There were, like I said, there were over 5,600 registered users. So it's good. It's just a question. I think the debate is that does the end justify the means?
In my opinion, it does, and that's where I'll break rank a little bit because for these types of atrocities, there are times when you have to, and I've said it before, you have to break the eggs of small government in order to get these kind of benefits. Like we did something probably illegal. I mean, it's really more entrapment than anything. But I look at it like we reaped a huge benefit. And whenever I can, like, you know, save a child from being exploited, even if I have to do, even if I have to share an image, which I feel is a very small thing to do, I think it is definitely better. What do you think, Joe?
Well, you know, I guess I'm a little bit torn because I understand, you know, where those child protection advocates are coming from. And I understand that what they essentially were doing is using children as bait.
Oh, totally. Yep.
Yeah. And so I think I think it just comes across to me as unethical. I'm glad that, you know, the investigation and what they did was able to bear some fruit. And I'm glad that they were able to, you know, catch the guilty parties or at least some of them. But I don't know that I could say the ends do justify the means.
Now, I think if they went as far as, like, you know, actually producing it new content, then I would absolutely be appalled. But if it was an existing, like, for instance, like if it's an existing content and it's already out there on the internet, just maybe not distributed through proper channels. Mm-hmm. I know, I get it. They're still being abused, but I can't say this for sure, it's probably a terrible thing to say, but if the parents would probably be okay if it made it more safe. Do you understand?
Yeah. Are we able to unmute Creighton?
Can't right now. We'll probably edit out, but because Creighton. Right now, well, Creighton, Creighton's muted and Chris is in the bathroom right now.
Gotcha.
So we'll just kind of carry him.
There he is.
Oh, there we go.
I can unmute myself. I mean, yeah, I was just throwing you guys a bone. When it comes to, so if I just repeat, they just took stuff that already existed and were using it to bait people into, like, it already existed or it was fake. They didn't like.
No, the site already existed as it was set up by the person who was running the website, but during the 2 weeks that the FBI had control of it, they allowed the people who were registered on the site to continue uploading photos of child abuse and molestation.
Oh, so the government didn't even upload any files?
No. The government was, I mean, essentially just had control of the website.
And watched the user's
property.
Behavior.
And they just monitored.
Yeah, see, I don't have a problem with that whatsoever. What about you guys? I mean, Creighton, what do you think?
I mean, I guess I don't really have a problem in a sense of, like, if they're already abusing children, then it's good to have them get caught. And as long if the government's not, like, you know, doing anything to harm anybody, like harm any children or anything, and they're really just catching people that were already harming children, honestly, I can't necessarily see anything wrong with that.
Okay, let me paint a different picture.
Joe, paint your picture, because I'm having a hard time seeing the
It's okay. If for somehow you had children, and some sicko was able to get a hold of pictures of them in the bathtub that, you know, somebody posted because they thought it would be cutesy somewhere on the internet or Facebook, and they somehow photoshopped it to be inappropriate or whatever, and it looks like, you know, your child is naked. Or if a babysitter took advantage of a young child, your children, if you had children, and then posted it to that site. Now, the government could have essentially shut down the site right away, as soon as they took control, and they could have then gone through some of the backlogs and some of the files to find out who had registered in the past, and they still could have caught some people that way. But instead, during that two-week duration, a picture of your child was then uploaded, and who knows who did what with that photo from that point on, because they wanted to find out who would be registering from point A to point B. To me, I don't know, if it was my kid, I would be very, very furious, because they should have shut it down right away, did what they could with that information, found out who had in the past, because I'm sure it wasn't a brand new website, utilized that resource or, you know, whatever you want to call it, and spared my child that agony.
No, I see where you're coming from. Yeah, I mean, having them, I guess that seems a little bit more of a, I guess I can agree with that more. You know, having them use the information that was already on there to catch people rather than kind of bait people into doing it anyway.
I wonder, though, if it was a question of being able to build a case, because if they could actually catch the user behavior, you know, while they were under operation of it, they could say for certain in the court of law and make the, you know, as opposed to where if it was just pre-existing content, they wouldn't be able to, you know, you could always say, well, I was hacked or, you know, something like that. This just gave him more of a concrete case that we know where he was at this specific time. We know the IP address he did it through, and we watched him do it in real time and documented it. So I do, though, get your, I get it now. Like, yeah, that I would, and I don't have kids. So, I mean, you're definitely more of the appropriate person to make that case.
It always tends to make things a little more personal.
Oh, way more. Yeah, I mean, it's hard for, you know, it's like when a guy talks about abortion. What do we know, you know? Mm-hmm. But
well, and my wife is a child therapist, and she makes, you know, I mean, her career is spent talking to and trying to kind of revisit painful memories of kids who have gone through some of these things and, you know, and try and kind of get them situated and well-adjusted.
Get past it and, okay, yeah. Now, do you I think the interesting thing, though, is – what is the proper role of the FBI in these types of things? I think this goes just to more, you know, whereas the traditional role, I think, as far as the FBI would go, would be they would seize the site, they'd shut it down like they did with that mega upload out in Australia, that controversy over the like file sharing site. And but now, can it be a thing where they could just be operating the website essentially as under the guise of a for-profit company? And to me, that just seems like entrapment.
Yeah, and that's something too. I mean, they're exactly. Anybody know where Spangle went, by the way?
Yeah, he had to do a little thing real quick, and he just
my gosh,
is
I
sitting
just see
down.
Manti Te'o's girlfriend sitting there where he was once at.
Oh yeah, yep. Lene was sitting in a spot, keeping it warm.
I don't know. Is it entrapment? If I thought entrapment was only called entrapment if essentially the cop broke the law.
Well, they are breaking the law. They're operating a child porn website.
The government is operating a child porn ring. And, you know, my take on it is I understand Greg's point, and you now have the user database. But the foundation of all of my beliefs is the golden rule. And if that were my child, I would not want the government continually exposing my child's photo to a bunch of perverts who can download it and use it again later. You're just increasing the exposure of that photo. And I understand your point, Greg, but as...
I'm coming around on it. I just, you know, one thing that worries me, though, is the dangerous precedent for the FBI.
Sure.
Whereas, you know, I'd mentioned Mega Upload, where they just shut it down, where now it's, well, we're going to keep operating it and see if we can't build an ironclad case.
Right.
It's government growth.
Yeah, I mean, if they were able to, like, make it a closed... like network of somehow, like if people who like whatever ended up on the website could not get out onto anything else, then it might not be as bad. But the fact that you are getting, you know, these things on the internet, and I mean, once it's on the internet, it's there forever.
Yep.
All right. So yeah, any final thoughts on this issue? Nope. Okay. Greg, what is your question for the group?
My question is more, it's like an observation, and I'm trying to figure, I can't reconcile the two things. Is since I'm still new to like the libertarian movement, I've never seen, even within the Republicans, there's a lot of disagreement, but I've never seen so much mockery and cheap shots at people who are all committed to liberty. But when you have a different avenue or medium for wanting to go about it, it is... I've just never seen such dissension. Like
75% of it is produced by Creighton and Maya.
Well, I mean, it's
that is true.
For instance, like there's people that are like Maya, they're voluntarists that think the only way anything's ever going to happen is societal collapse. Then there's, you know, incrementalists more like Creighton, and then there's like agorists who like, well, we'll just bring it down with black market tactics.
Right.
And everyone mocks each other, even though they all want similar to the same thing. It's almost like they don't want to get along. They want to ostracize people when the growth of government is real. It is real, and we're seeing it every day.
Sure.
Why bash each other publicly? I mean, if you want to have these things at a party convention or something like that, that's fine. But when it is out in the open for everyone to see, it just makes it even less likely that it will be adopted.
I think the psychology is also different because you get that between a Ted Cruz crowd and a Lindsey Graham crowd. That exists on a national stage, but it's not nearly as personal. And because we're a smaller group than the others, you get a very, and I'm going to mute you real quick, Creighton, just because there's a hum in the background. What you get with the libertarian movement is because it's a small group, everybody knows each other personally or can find each other. You're always 6 degrees of separation away from each other, you know, because it's a small community, as opposed to, a, you know, 45% of the population, which would vote Republican or Democrat. So I think that's why it has a little more vitriol. One of the things that we tried to do here is get a group of people, you know, like Maya, like Creighton, like Joe, like myself, who, like you, who all have different beliefs. We all want the same thing. We all have different ways of going about it. Let's discuss it. And I think if you listen to our shows where Maya's on, you know, where Maya and Creighton are on the same podcast, it sounds like they're in different parties.
Yeah.
But the end goal is still the same.
But I mean, why publicly? Like, I don't have it seems like the default is to mock someone publicly every time.
I think it is a lack of social awareness, to be frank. I think that...
It's because libertarians are just derpy. We're all just a little bit derpy.
D-E-R-P-Y. Look that up. I mean, it really... Derpy. Yeah, it's just... It's just a lack of social awareness. Like, it's... I'm going to voice
my opinion. I come at it from this angle. One, I just like being a troll sometimes, and that's why I like to argue with people. And some of the things I think are just I feel like what our job, you know, regardless of whether or not you're a voluntarist or an agorist or whatever, you know, some of these things are just stupid. Like for me, the GMO thing, I think that's just stupid. And I think it should be called out as stupid. Because I don't think it's going to do anything for anybody, regardless of what faction you come from.
The controversy over genetically modified organisms and food that is genetically modified, that's what GMO means.
Yeah. So, like, the conspiracy things, I mean, we're obviously outspoken on how I think I am, on how I think that's all just stupid. But some of those things I think are just need to be addressed because I think they do nothing but harm. I think they're talking about them, regardless of whether or not you want, you know, like you're a voluntarist or an incrementalist, just having them be like one of the planks that, you know, people associate with your philosophy, I think is just net negative all around. So I think that's just something that has to be addressed, and I think the libertarian movement has to grow out of. But at the same time, I'm okay with people arguing about libertarianism, just like various, what, you know, method ideas and all that kind of stuff. I'm cool with that. What gets me is when people who like me are like believe in political change and see people who can actually affect political change and are in a position to make a difference, and people who believe in the same thing but just don't they're just like purists or something, they work to undercut that. Like, it's one thing to say, okay, I just disagree with the guy, I'm not gonna go out there and, you know, try and do an expose on his policies that I'm going to make stuff up. I mean, but there are the people out there that say, oh, Rand Paul or Ted Cruz aren't there 99% with me or 100% with me, so I'm going to go out and actually campaign against them in the movement. I'm going to write articles write articles and go, and that's just part of debate. But just actually, you know, try and undercut people's attempts to advance these people who aren't 100% with us, but still want to, you know, they're still with us enough for us to actually put effort behind them.
Yeah.
You know, there are people trying to undercut that. And I'm like, I mean, you're not like, as far as like, they want to replace a Rand Paul with a Murray Rothbard reincarnated or something. It's like, that's not your option. It's Rand Paul or Hillary Clinton. And it's like, but we're shooting ourselves in the foot by undercutting these people, because, you know, we don't really have the option of perfection, and I feel like that's just what gets me, is it's like they want the option of perfection.
Oh, and Ron Paul's not even perfection. That's what gets me.
I think what you also have is it's a very young movement. It has a lot of young people, especially new young people, and I think a lot of the aggression just comes from, you know, I don't want to say immaturity, but there are people out there who just, you know, I just find it ironic that for a group of people who profess the non-aggression principle, there is a lot of aggression and anger.
Tons.
And it bums me out, and it really wears you down. It makes you not want to work in the libertarian movement at certain points, because you just go, I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to have to defend every opinion, every belief. It's just like, can you just not just move on. Move on to the next cat post. Just keep going.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it's like if you're the liberty movement as an aggregate, it seems like there's this I wouldn't say it's the aggregate. There are factions within the libertarian movement that want the entire class of people that call themselves libertarians to be identical philosophically. And they have no desire to look at it as, well, we don't have to be identical. We can just partner on issues that we agree on. And then you can partner with somebody that you agree on with another issue and I disagree with you on and try and beat me on that, advancing that policy or whatever. It's like everybody has to be identical or it's nothing. It's like it's all or nothing.
Yeah,
and that's what gets me. And that's why we've never been effective for like 30, 40 years is because we're waiting for like this time where everyone's got like enlightened or something. We're all became the Buddha, and the libertarian Buddha, and we're enlightened. And now we'll go and effect change now that everybody's on the same page. It's like, give me a break.
Let's get Joe's opinion. Yeah. And then, Joe, I've got a question for you.
Well, I think in that event, maybe libertarians become their own biggest enemies, and maybe the voluntarists are right in the sense that a societal collapse is the only thing that's going to bring any sort of baseline to the problems, because maybe incrementalism can't work as long as libertarians can't get on the same page. I don't know. I mean, if I could characterize libertarians sometimes, it would be like Jones Soda. There are so many different flavors of libertarian. But it's not enough for them to say we're all soda. It's there's bullies. There's libertarian Jones Soda gangs. You know, if you're not Green Apple, then I don't count you as a Jones Soda. You're grape.
Right.
And so that it's problematic for us. And I could see that as long as we have that train of thought, we're never going to develop any sort of headway in getting the things accomplished that we need to get accomplished.
And I think disagreement's good, but I just hate how it's. As soon as you put your opinion out there, it is bashed publicly. I'm going to make a Facebook post about it and link to it and then have everyone mock you for being impure.
I used to joke that I had the toughest job in Indiana politics as the executive director of the Libertarian Party of Indiana, because if you're the head of the Republican Party, libertarians and Democrats hate you, but the Republicans love you.
Yep.
If you're head of the Democratic Party, the Democrats love you and the Republicans and libertarians hate you. But if you're head of the Libertarian Party, the libertarians hate you more than the Republicans and Democrats do. and I experienced it all the time. It just the most vitriol and hate and just the people who made my job miserable and made me want to leave were libertarians. And they were, you know, officials of the party for the most part. And I think Joe's exactly right. I mean, let's get into the psychology of it, Joe. And you've worked in the mental health field. So you're familiar with, you know, mental health, and why do you think, what is the characteristics of the broad strokes of libertarians that why we act this way towards each other?
Oh, I'm sure if you did some sort of a study or diagnosis of the personalities of the people within the movement, you would find some narcissism and, you know, some of the same.
But how does that relate to me?
And douchebaggery.
Creighton, you can't say douchebaggery. You're not wearing a shirt. You're wearing aviators. And in the middle of a child porn discussion, you put on a pirate hat. So, Joe, go ahead. So narcissism, douchebaggery.
You know, the same things that they get upset at politicians, where they accuse politicians of being narcissistic, and they accuse people who enjoy politicians of worshiping the state. And, you know, and all the while, their approach shows nothing, you know, in terms of being interested in actually coming up with solutions. They are inevitably more interested in being right in a discussion or in an argument or a debate with the person next to them than they are in finding common ground and moving the ball forward. And that's, you know, that's really problematic because they become just as bad as the people that they claim to hate.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like Adam Kokesh's approach. I have serious issues with the way he has presented himself the last week, especially. We're not going to get into Kokesh because we've hashed that out. It's everybody's talking about it. But he essentially came out and said, you know, forget the non-aggression principle because we've been aggressed against. So a year from now, we're going to have an armed revolution. I mean, that's the basics of what he said. And it's led people who people like United Liberty, which has UnitedLiberty.com has a big following, and they're really good guys. And they put out a statement saying, this guy is wrong. We're not associating with him anymore. He's gone beyond the pale. I agree with them. But that is the extent of what I'm going to say about Adam Kokesh. I'm not going to go on a rant and, you know, have every listener start tweeting him and say...
He also totally ripped off V for Vendetta.
Yeah, but it's not going to become a vendetta against Adam Kokesh. I just disagree with his tactics. And the way that
he ripped off V for Vendetta.
I know. His speech that he said, it was basically, you know, a ripoff. But
the entire concept is a ripoff of V for Vendetta. He just stole their plot.
So it wasn't verbatim.
Story.
He
it wasn't verbatim, but he did, like, his entire thing that he's doing is literally the plot of V for Vendetta.
Do I think that he would show us the same courtesy of just saying, you know, a 2-minute thing about how we disagree with his tactics, but more power to you, go ahead and whatever? I don't think so. And I think that people have to be responsible when they build a following. And I'm not going to say that we have near the following of Adam Kokesh or the influence, because I don't think we have much. I think we have friends that we joke around with online. But I think the people who lead that certain crowd have to be more... Just stop being so angry. It's just such a turnoff. And you're manipulating people into anger a little bit. And if you're one of those people, don't let yourself be manipulated. The bottom line of the world is that people are horrible to each other. We're against people being horrible to each other. We're not just against the government being horrible to people. And I think that's what libertarians miss a lot of times, is that they focus so much on how they hate the government that they forget that the other part of libertarianism is you have to love, and there should be peace and harmony and abundance. And they focus on all the negative, and they don't focus on any of the good. And if you want to have a libertarian society, you've got to treat each other with respect and love and treat others as you'd like to be treated. Well, who's going to want to follow you and adopt your philosophy if you're the type of personality that presents yourself as, well, if you don't agree with me, you're the first one to be murdered when I take over? And I oftentimes feel that feeling, and, you know, it's just like, I wouldn't trust... I don't care if you're on my team. I don't want you leading the government. You're going to just murder me first. Because, you know, it's... I think that's really where... So how do we fix it, Joe?
I think that we just need to shut up and take a step back and realize...
All right, has been We Are Libertarians, and...
No. I mean, it seems like it's always the loudest person in the room and, you know, the biggest a-hole that... It alienates
Creighton is sitting
who are just
right
coming
there.
Into the unit.
What are you doing?
Say what?
Creighton is sitting right there, and you're talking about him, Joe. That's not nice.
It happens. But you know what I mean? Like, there are so many people who came out of the Ron Paul movement, and like you said, the Liberty movement is relatively young. And so there's a lot of people who are scratching their heads, and they're thinking to themselves that there might be a little bit more to this, but they have questions, and they're not all the way there yet, and they're not even remotely near that place where people would call them purists of any kind. But they come into this room, into this club that we've kind of built this level of intellectual superiority and exclusivity, and they try and ask us questions, and they try and go fishing to figure out, well, maybe I agree with you here, and maybe I agree with you there. And, oh, this one's still a little bit more confusing for me. And at that point, when they show us a little bit of resistance because they have a lifetime of thinking otherwise, we push them away.
They're trying to force us in or out of the libertarian box. You know, don't listen to that podcast because they have Greg Lenz on. You know, we've had that where we describe Greg Lenz as the Republican libertarian. And I've had people on Twitter, people say, I'm not listening to that show because they've got Greg Lenz on. Well, F you, we don't want you listening anyways. Go screw yourself.
It's not for you.
Yeah. Eat it.
Well, I'll go make my own podcast. Then it'll have casinos and hookers and booze.
Creighton, how do we fix it?
Do what I do.
Just be mean.
Take your shirt off.
Just be mean.
Party.
Yes.
Meme
we have to break past these norms that say everyone should wear clothes all the time. No, what do? We're
the party of free love, baby.
I mean, honestly, I think it's going to have to be a matter of, you know, the people who are, honestly, I just think libertarians just need to stop being douchebags, stop being assholes. Honestly, what it comes down to is a lot of people who are very vocal and very active in, like, liberty, the liberty movement, whether it's on the internet or whether it's in various organizations, they're just a bunch of assholes, and that reflects in, like, how they interact with people in trying to advance the cause. They're just assholes. And I think that we just have to stop being a bunch of assholes. And once we're able to get past being an asshole, I think everything will be a little bit better. It's just like, stop saying that, you know, you're less of a person. You're dumber, or you're not as good as I am. You're not at the same level of awesomeness that I am because you haven't read Man, Economy, and State or something. Or you don't think that Adam Kokesh is a good guy. I mean,
he's like, down for the struggle.
Once we get past people being so, like, culty, then I think I think things will get better, and I think it'll come with time. I think it is a young movement. I think eventually it'll grow up, especially as reality starts hitting a lot of people, and you're just like, all right, what's more important, you know, taxes getting raised, or whether or not the Cato Institute likes to talk about Friedman over Rothbard. I mean, it's just like people's priorities will fall into place, and the ones that are still being, you know, stubborn and they won't do anything are just going to be stubborn and not do anything, and they're going to be on their computer, and that's about the extent of it, and they're just going to be irrelevant.
I think you hit on something that is a great word, cult. I think we have to stop
like
being so cultish, and I think that's a big part of it is people make this their entire lives, you know, and they do that to me too. Like, I can't go on and make a post on Facebook without somebody trying to relate it back to the government or libertarianism or something. Like, I'm the libertarian guy on most people's Facebook page because I'm friends with half of Indiana, it seems like, you know, and there are people that I know that this is their entire existence. They don't have anything but libertarianism. And that's not a healthy way to live. Like, you should also have a hobby besides libertarianism, you know, besides political action or reading political books. Like, throw in a joke book.
Or go read The Grapes of Wrath.
Go read The Grapes of Wrath, or, you know, pick up Twilight.
Yeah.
Read through that. Get crazy.
No, don't
and read,
pick up Twilight.
Get crazy and read 50 Shades of Grey. I mean, just do something other than libertarianism, you know. If you listen to this podcast, mix in the Michael Mara show or what the F with Mark Maron. You know, just don't make it your whole existence, because then when it becomes so important to you, then
you start, natural repellent.
Yeah, and I think we also have to have a little bit of Reagan's 11th commandment, where if you find yourself talking negatively, overtly, about other libertarians, like if you refer to the Cato Institute as the Stato Institute, stop. You know?
You can disagree with them.
Yeah,
totally.
Here's the bottom line. Saying nice things about people or saying nothing does not imply that you agree with everything they do. Or if they say one thing or do one thing that you don't agree with, it doesn't mean that they are bad as a human being or that you have to fight with them and point that out to them. Or that you have to go on a vendetta to crush that person because they're impure. I think, you know, I know it sounds like we're coming down on the other side, but at the end of the day, that's any observer from the outside of the libertarian movement says, gee, you know, there's one certain crowd that really loves to pick on everybody else.
Yeah.
And it repels people, you know. It's not that you know, there needs to be that. There needs to be a purity check because we have a philosophy. And but it also doesn't mean that I'm a bad person for voting. I want an anarcho.
How dare you aggress towards me with your voting, Chris?
I want an anarcho-capitalist state as much as anybody else. But I realize that if you run as a candidate, you have to talk about issues that are currently happening, not what is going to happen 400 years from now. Also, if I vote for a candidate like Gary Johnson, who may not be great on intervention in Syria, I'm with him on like 98% of other stuff. You know, like he's going to get 4% anyways. Calm down.
Like, or Justin Amash, because he's a Republican, even though I agree with him on everything, I just can't support him.
Right.
You know,
well, that's wrong.
What?
Yeah, being a Republican is terrible. Don't let your kids be Republicans.
What was that about love a minute ago?
Yeah,
no, forget that.
Fuck off.
No, but I had a friend recently. He was
all of this is with the.
Go ahead, Creighton.
You go.
I was gonna say everything we just said is with the caveat: as long as you're not Republican
that's,
or Democrat,
that's right.
All bets are off.
Joe, final word on this.
Skype wars. No, we. I had a friend recently who, you know, he's been kind of sticking his big toe in the libertarian pool to check the temperature for a really long time, and he's conservative Republican. His religious beliefs kind of lead a lot of the issues in terms of the way that he thinks about them. But he's becoming more and more libertarian over time, and he's even come to libertarian meetings quite a few times. He worked for my campaign, and you know, he joined because he thought it would lead to good conversation, some Facebook group called Christian Libertarians. And he thought, oh, these are some people that are definitely going to think like me on the issues. And he got in there, and it was Memorial Day, and automatically people began talking trash about our troops because they're fighting and they're participating in the foreign intervention, and we shouldn't be celebrating the lives of the people who have, you know. And he goes, well, hold on, guys. Are we serious about this? And he tried to come in and be a sensible voice amongst these people who are obviously just there to troll. And they gave him a really hard time about it. And as long as we're like that, like, no one's going to come all the way in.
Yeah, I think it's disgusting when people troll. You know, for instance, when they put on a cat
Bozo.
And Bozo hat with a monocle.
Yeah.
My God.
While Joe's talking, I look like Bozo the clown with a mustache. And Creighton looks like Dr. Seuss.
Oh, my Lord.
Poor Joe.
Dr. Seuss, of all things, with like a dickhead mustache.
Safe to say for Creighton, it's going to be a dry summer as far as the ladies go out there after this episode.
Hey, guys, look. I'm Chris Galt. I put on a Google's headband. All right, so this isn't all right, let's wrap up. We're almost going to be close to an hour of this show, our first in many, many episodes. So let's start with our end of show roundtable, what we missed, what we'd like to say that otherwise we didn't get to talk about. Joe, why don't you go first?
You know, I think that I've said everything I need to say. Libertarians, get along. Just chill out, man. Just chill out. And that sounds really like hippie libertarian of
peace,
me to put it in those words, but just chill out.
Peace, love, and harmony, brah.
Pass it on.
Creighton?
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Oh, so your birthday?
No.
I think
I have a birthday cake.
We should extend the episode and talk about Syria.
No, that's too
I'm
boring.
I'm kidding. What my last words? Yeah, just chill out, brah. I mean, just step back, have a beer, and
do some squats.
Take a chill pill.
Do some laundry.
Maybe get
a nice tan.
Yeah, that ain't gonna happen. I'm very Irish.
Hey, Creighton, though, you promised me you will go to Mr. Smith's in Georgetown. It is a dueling piano bar, and they allow karaoke.
You know, dude, I'm gonna try and get out there, but I'm in Virginia.
I know.
And it's amazing how hard it is to find a reason to go to D.C. other than to see the monuments. And if I got to go out there, I'm not going to, like, I don't want to drive to a bar out in D.C. and then drive back. And if I take the metro, it's such a bad time. The metro sucks.
I'll try how much you'll enjoy it because they have karaoke and you can do singing.
I still got like 2 months left, so
all right.
3 months.
All right. Like that.
Greg, but, anything
that's... Oh, and Man of Steel comes out June 14th. Everybody go see that.
What was... I'm so looking forward to Man of Steel. You gave it the wah-wah sound?
Yeah, I thought it was this. That's what I thought it was going to be. So, here, let's try this. Creighton, what movie is coming out this summer?
From the creators of Topless Podcasting.
What movies are coming out when? I didn't even hear what you said.
I'm going to use this one all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right, Greg.
I think we covered pretty much everything. I just want to give a shout-out to one of our loyal listeners, Anthony, I don't think he'll mind, Ramian, buddy of mine, works for AAA. Yesterday at Eagle Creek, the NCAA rowing championships were out there.
I saw a bunch of UCLA girls. The rowing team was in March like every day when I was eating lunch.
Yeah, and so they were out there, and he got a call to go get someone out, a AAA member, and they were from Ontario.
Oh.
So he pulls up there, and he's like, you know, how can I help? He's like, yeah, I drove on the grass, and it got stuck. And he's like, can you get me out of here? And so
he didn't have his snow chains on his tires?
No. So it's a little crap car. So he pulls him out.
Of course. It's
then,
Canada.
Then two or three more Canadian friends come up. Like, oh, we're stuck too, eh? Can you get us out? And I was like, you come down to our country. You don't pay for AAA, the greatest, greatest car savior company there is,
and
you abuse our resources.
Anthony, can you hook me up?
Yep.
Need a membership.
That's who he's got to talk to.
Not going
to
ask for the gold one, but I wouldn't mind a free hookup.
Free hookup.
Joe, you want one?
Dude, Joe is literally loving these effects over here. he is enjoying the crap out of it.
I've never seen it before. It's hilarious.
I know. My final message is, anyways, thank you for that, because anytime we can bash Canada on this podcast.
Yes.
I will say that my wife and I were discussing next summer, going to the Montreal Comedy Festival.
Uh-oh.
Which, like, you don't get a more Canadian city than Montreal, but it's the biggest comedy festival in the world, and it's got every headliner, but, you know, I'd have to go to Canada. So.
Ugh.
We'll see.
Maybe they'll secede by then and just be Quebec. They don't want me nearly as bad.
Did you see you saw that headline? It said the most Canadian headline ever. Man
yeah.
dies while snowmobiling and rides underneath a moose.
yeah.
I would like to ask in my final little bit here. I would like to ask you to go to our website, wearelibertarians.org, and check out audible.com. And you can
said
get
.org.
Wearelibertarians.com.
Yeah, not .org.
I'm sorry. Yeah, we don't have .org, so don't go there and don't buy that. But you can go and get a free month of Audible. Do you know what Audible it is, Greg?
Yeah, I do.
Do you use Audible?
I don't, but I have in the past.
See, you can go right now to wearelibertarians.com,
uh-huh.
and you can click on the banner that has Audible, and you can sign up and get a free month of Audible. And you know what you can download there?
What?
You can download Born Standing Up by Steve Martin.
Ah, I've read that. That's a great book.
It's a great book.
Yeah.
If you're Creighton, you can get Man and State by Murray Rothbard.
Okay.
You can get several.
What's that book? I've never heard of that one.
Walter, is it Mises? Am I wrong? I don't read any of that stuff. I'm very uneducated, very stupid.
Walter Mises?
Walter Mises? I said Walter Block.
Is that what you just said?
No, I didn't say that.
Walter Mises Hoppe.
You totally just said Walter Mises.
I did?
And yeah, Joe's and you
still
said .org.
Loving every minute of these events.
So you can get Walter
Block. Can we end the podcast now?
No.
We have jumped the shark.
Anyways, go check out audible.com. It's great. I love it. It helps the podcast, and it benefits us greatly. All right, let's end this turd of a podcast. It's been fun. It's been real. It hasn't been real fun. And we've discovered a new toy that hopefully we will not play with again.
I hope so.
Because in the middle of the discussion, I'm sitting there losing my mind laughing at Creighton, who's going through, like, Joe and you are having this argument about
child porn
and the FBI, and it's very serious, and I look, and Creighton's got, like, a crown on and a pirate hat, and then he puts a tiara on. I'm
Do you know how hard it was to, like, even have my thoughts organized looking at him like that?
Child poor pirates are so bad.
But I love this Google headband and this like dirt mustache combo, because you know that voice that I'm always doing that I irritate my wife with? Hello, pretty Lindy.
You do look exactly like it fits it so well. Greg, look.
The pretty Lindy likes to work for the Google. You like to Google? I like to Google.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that exactly what
that is? So whatever right. Whatever Viagra does, that does the opposite of that image right there.
All right. Well, last week we promised you to do better. I don't know if we succeeded or not. But
we hit rock bottom. It can't go anywhere but up from here.
Exactly. So, as always, we apologize, and next week we promise
to do better next time.
Music for We Are Libertarians is provided by Hoosier musician Brian Keith Wallen. Please check out his website, briankeithwallen.com. The song is Bad Spell. This podcast is produced by What Is a Hoosier Productions.